And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, I mean, goes from like, Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio. All y'all in radio land, thank you. But then there's, oh, by the way, all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, picking up the show, live streaming it, like right now, looking inside the studio. Live stream it on places like X and Facebook and YouTube and Rumble and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact. Just catching up on things and maybe even listen to it twice. Listen, the bottom line is this. We love you. We appreciate you. No matter where you catch this show, hear me say it. The only reason why we do what we do is because of you. So thank you very much. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Oh, thank you. Also, did you hear that the massive Category 3 Hurricane Aaron is predicted to re-strengthen? I did not hear that. Where is that hunkered down right now, and where is it going to hit landfall?
Well, apparently it's going to make a sharp right back into the ocean without even making landfall, but it's currently around Cuba.
It's down in the warm waters. Okay.
Yeah, so it actually may break a record, or already has broken a record of strength of a hurricane in that area. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, sucks to be on the islands right now, I guess. John from Harvest, did I get his already? I did. JT from Lacey Springs says, regarding the comment I made in the monologue, he says, the war on climate change and cow flatulence is simple. Eat more beef. There you go. Solve the problem. Too much cow flatulence, eat more beef. I like it. Luann from Huntsville says, I'd like to add one more to your esteemed analysis. That's the pack. So we got, I guess so she's saying we got hacks, quacks, and jackwagons, she's adding the pack, people who don't think for themselves. They're lazy or just narrow-minded. They believe in safety and numbers, even if much like lemmings they are racing over the cliff. And much like a band of wolves, their bellies and creature comforts are what matters. And they use power to intimidate. Well, Luann, I like that. Hacks, quacks, packs, and jackwagons. I'm adding to the list.
That's a bumper sticker.
By the way, lemmings to the sea. Did you know, did anybody realize that was fake? Do you know what that is? Okay, lemmings are like little rodents, like little mouse, like little muskrats kind of thing. They're smaller than that. More like field mice.
Yeah.
And there's a video that was taken of lemmings running in mass across like an open plain. And then they get all the way to the cliffs. And I don't know where this was now that I think about it. The cliffs of Dover? I don't know. But anyway, the bottom line is these lemmings in hordes are running across, and they just leap off the cliffs into the ocean. And so, and it was a documentary, I believe, done by Disney back in the 50s. It was black and white. I've seen it. And so it coined this phrase in pop culture called, everybody's just moving like lemmings to the sea, meaning they'll just throw themselves at the issue, not even pay attention. Whatever the pack does, they do. Except that Lemmings to the Sea, the original video that captured everybody's attention, was fake. It was absolutely fake.
You said that was in the 50s?
It was fake, yeah. And they were filming it. They were scaring them, making them run towards a camera that was on the ground so it looked like hordes. And then they started throwing them off the cliff. like live lemmings. Somebody was throwing them off the cliff, and down below they were just filming them coming falling off in the sky.
I bet PETA would have a field day with that.
Oh, my gosh. Today. Yeah. Anyway, I read a study on that one time. I think I did a monologue on that at one point. I need to dig it out of my archives. But it's hilarious in a bad way.
I was going to say, they achieved CGI before CGI was even a thing. They just manually did it.
they just artificially manufactured that whole bad thing. Luann from Huntsville also, by the way, saying that's awesome. And she says, and I wear the Right Side Radio t-shirt with pride. Thank you, Luann. We appreciate you more than you know. Jeff Rowe from Indiana checking in. I believe he's on vacation right now. He says, Phil, you did a wonderful job on CNN. Thank you, brother. He said, but I have to admit, I felt sorry for you because you had to breathe all the smugness that was in that room. It reminds me of a South Park episode, and one who knows it will laugh their butts off. Awesome. Listen, it was even worse in the green room because I didn't know who my panel was going to be. Usually I get the word ahead of time. All I know is I'm in the room, and they're huddled around a laptop to see what Trump was saying in his interview with Hannity. So we're in the CNN green room watching Fox on a laptop, and I'm watching it with them, but the amount of snide, like Trump jokes and the man's an idiot. My gosh, did you? He gave himself a 10. Oh, of course he did. Always gives himself a 10. And it was going. I thought, holy crap! I am just sitting in here. I'm like in the. Do they even realize I'm a conservative? They might turn around and throw some food at me.
Yes, I was shocked that they left you out to dry like that. Like the only one.
I liked it. It meant that I got plenty of time to speak.
Well, then, it's also funny too because what was the guy's name on the far left panel?
Jonah Goldberg.
Yeah, I feel like that's a CNN Republican. They're like, that's a CNN conservative.
He's an absolute never Trumper.
Yeah,
and he's a good columnist. He's been writing for years. I think he's kind of right up there with Bill Kristol and others who somewhere in 2016 they abandoned the idea of the Republican Party ever having any credibility because they elected Trump.
Yeah,
and so he became a true never Trump Republican. He's like an activist never Trump Republican.
That's like, yeah, a CNN Republican.
And I'm thinking, yeah, exactly. Okay, you said that. Hang on, I'm a CNN Republican right now, I guess.
No, you're a conservative who's on CNN. You're not a CNN Republican.
Thank you.
There's a difference, yeah.
I like that. But yeah, it was crazy in the green room. David Axelrod was standing there. He used to be an advisor for Clinton. You know, you got just other people walking in and out. And I'm thinking, is he on the show with me? Is he on the show? Does it even matter? I guess I'm just a conservative in the room. And it was craziness. Adam from Athens says, great monologue, Phil. I'm glad to see you made it out of D.C. in one piece. Thank you. He said, also, JP, it finally that time of year where we can start hating each other for a good reason. Tyson who? Go Vols.
I can't believe it's already football. Like, we're 13 days away from, well, actually, I think college football starts this weekend. This is week zero. But 13 days away till week one is nuts.
I saw, too, a story today that I hope will be on JP on Sports.
What's that?
That they are retiring Cam Newton's number at Auburn.
They did,
and calling him perhaps the greatest quarterback acquisition they ever had because it was the magic season he came from. They thought they were going to have an 8-4 team tops, and it took him to a 14-0 run and got the Heisman.
Oh, he's top three quarterback of all time in college football, I would say.
Think about this. Cam Newton, star quarterback coming out of high school, won the JUCO,
Player of the Year.
JUCO National Championship.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he did.
Then he won the NCAA National Championship. Then he won the Heisman Trophy. Then he was Rookie of the Year. Wait.
MVP.
MVP. Mm-hmm. And he played in but did not win a Super Bowl,
yeah, he played
Bowl,
in the
right?
Super Bowl, yeah. He went up against Peyton Manning's Broncos.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's against the other GOAT.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. There's the GOATs there.
Those are the two.
Lewis from Trinity says, what time slot on CNN? I need to start saying that. He said, I need to start saying that. Yeah, you do. It's hard to say. When does it? I got to watch CNN. Oh, you do? Anyway, I've enjoyed it, and it's going to be on at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. That's the plan. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I am loving these clips of your latest CNN performance on YouTube breaks. Thank you very much, John. That's all JP. I didn't know what was going to happen. I looked up and saw myself. Lou Ann from Huntsville says, oh, I already got that. JT from Lacey Springs says, you repeated CNN visits have a progressive effect. Soon it will be on CSN, Common Sense Network. Ah, I see what he did there. It's trying to bring some credibility where it needs it, man. Adam from Athens says, a Saturday was the last week until January without college football. Whoop, whoop. You got a sound effect? Pick your sound effect. What do you want it to be? I think you need a hallelujah in there, too, just because. Okay, football's coming. Jeff from Indiana again says, I'm just enjoying these text messages. Says, Phil, I think the only part of the show on CNN that was interesting is when you were letting them know how the election was and they were all denying it. I know, man.
I mean, I, for one, can sleep well at night knowing that the 2020 election was the best election in U.S. history.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
And then
with a straight face.
But the look on my face, I couldn't. There was no poker face left at that point. In fact, when they turned to me, I knew what was happening. As soon as I saw them say, we're going to talk about the 2020 election, I said, I know what's about to happen. And so they came to me, and I said, all right, everybody get ready to pile on. Here we go. It was fun. Jack from Huntsville says, Achilles had his myrmidons. They followed their orders without question. Today's Dems are without... are our modern day myrmidons. They follow and obey without thinking or questioning. Jack, that's a thinking man's text right there. Thank you very much. Two more and then I'll go to the break. Ruff Leanne from Huntsville says, Phil, I'm loving the, I'll just say it this way, butt weapons you're delivering on CNN. I hope it continues. Ruff Leanne, keep praying for me. Thank you for being our fearless leader and going to pulverize them on their turf. I'm enjoying it. And by the way, they are inviting me, so I can't fault that. And then last one, John, as spelled J-O-N, John from Harvest, says, I used to regularly read Jonah Goldberg and usually liked his takes, but Trump absolutely broke him, and he's no longer readable. It's hard to believe the pre-Trump and post-Trump authors are still the same. There's several like that. There's a guy named Quinn Hillier here in Alabama that's that way. Then there's Bill Kristol and others that I used to regularly read their work, almost like I read Victor Davis Hanson now, where I felt like I got smarter for reading their stuff. And then they got so bitter. I heard somebody say today, they're all like a bunch of bitter ex-wives. And that's exactly right. Exactly right. Last one, Joe in Tennessee says, Pied Piper of Hamelin, Germany had his rats being led away by a guy with a flute like the Democrats of today. Nice. All right, listen, we got to take a break. We'll take that break. We'll come right back and we're going to dive into the topic. We're going to get on into it because the story is still unfolding, but today has been a massive historic day. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what to respond when people ask you about it. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I got more text messages, but I'll catch up on some of those later. Appreciate all of you. Keep chiming in. I love the feedback. In fact, I think it's my favorite part of the show. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So let me just tell you right now, I think what you're watching is what I coined the phrase for this morning, the art of the summit. Not the art of the deal. This is the art of the summit right now. And I got a new piece that came out this morning on 1819 News. I write a piece that comes out every week. It gets published. 1819, because of our longstanding relationship, they always run it first and then others get it afterwards. But yeah, I wrote it this morning. It's called The Art of the Summit. And I talk about several things. You know, one of the most related to the summit, I mean. Here's a couple of points that I want to give you, because there are two narratives right now that the left is working hard to say is the actual story that's not really a story, but it's really the story behind the story. Okay, what? First of all, last Friday, and I saw it over and over again on the CNN edition that I was on, that the narrative was that he failed. Nothing happened. He said we'd have a deal. There's no ceasefire. What really happened? He didn't get it. They gloated, you know, and they shrilled that there's no deal. And I finally looked at him and I said, y'all do realize this is the way things work. It's called shuttle diplomacy. They go back and forth. I've never been as a lawyer in a mediation where the mediator didn't have to spend time going back and forth from room to room. Okay, here's the other piece of that is. The argument, if you're giving it to somebody else, keep in mind a couple things. The idea that a 3.5-year war was going to be resolved in a 3-hour summit just 6 months after Trump took office is like, that wouldn't be Nobel Peace Prize stuff. That'd be sainthood. I mean, there's no way in the world anybody with a straight face could look at this and go, well, you know, he didn't stop the war by lunch. So it was a failure. Well, what meetings? What deal? There's not going to be a deal. You don't know that. You don't even know what they talked about. In fact, I pointed out, here's a couple of read between the lines moments from when Trump spoke with Putin, the press conference they did together on Friday. There were some of the read between the line moments. One of them was Putin said, I hope that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I hope that other Western leaders will not, and in my words, jimmy up what we've worked on here today. In other words, something was worked on, some framework was discussed, and he doesn't want other people messing it up because he'd like for it to be resolved. Interesting. So there was something. Even Putin says so. Trump himself said, I'm leaving from here. I will go and call President Zelensky, and I will call NATO and members of the Western allied nations and let them know what we've discussed. And then it will be up to Zelensky to tell me where he'd like to go with it next. That's significant, y'all. That's absolutely significant. And that was last Friday. But he didn't stop the war by tea time. Okay, really? You know how long it took to negotiate peace for the war in Bosnia? By the way, there's very few wars in modern history where you can look at it and say it was a negotiated peace. There may have been an end to hostilities because one side won. Like, you can look at Desert Storm. We won. They capitulated. Done. You know, there's the whole situation in Afghanistan. Well, the Taliban, we went, we kicked their tail, we stayed for 20 years, and then Joe Biden ripped the Band-Aid off and crushed everybody's soul with the way he pulled out. So there's not been many times when negotiated peace brought an end to hostilities like that. In the modern era, the war in Bosnia, genocide, crazy things, sick stuff. But the war in Bosnia ended with a 21-day sequester. Like all the parties came to Dayton, Ohio. I think that's Wright-Patterson Air Base. And they came there and they spent 3 weeks hunkered down, like stayed there till they got it done. That's a three-week peace summit until he came out with the Dayton Peace Accords in the war in Bosnia. But then the other one that I can tell you in modern history that you might want to consider is the war in Korea. Now, they didn't achieve an actual end to the war. They came up with an armistice, which is like a cessation of hostilities. Technically, there's never been a declaration of the end of the war. But the Korean peace negotiations took 2 years. 2 years just for the negotiations. 2 years. And the left wanted this thing done by lunch on Friday. Do you know that was the first time Putin has been on U.S. soil in 10 years? That's significant. And yet, some of the wins here were, we had Putin come to America. And then Putin had to stand on not only on U.S. soil, but he stood on a U.S. military base. Oh, by the way, not only a U.S. military base, a U.S. military base in Alaska, which is land that we acquired from Russia for pennies on the dollar back in 1882, I believe it was. So, all said and done, this was a major FaceTime. This was a major operation. And that's just Friday. What happened today, though, is legendary on the next level. What you got, man?
I was just going to say, it's funny because if Trump would have gotten a peace deal on Friday, like they say they wanted, it would have been, oh, Trump is giving Putin everything he wants. I can't believe he would do such a thing. Like, there's
that
no
is
winning.
So true.
It's there's no winning. And by the way, I'm sorry if it takes more than, 6 months to undo 3.5 years or
yes.
3 years of damage done by Biden. Like, it's going to take a little bit of time from the Biden administration letting this become the mess that it is. It's going to take a little bit more than 6 months to actually get it done. But yeah, there's no winning. They're just going to be unhappy with everything.
Well, here's the other narrative. Perfect point. And here's the other narrative. So the first one is he didn't get it solved by lunch last Friday. Well, the other one was, oh, wait, they're all coming to the White House today, which they are. That's going to be the next piece I'm going to talk about with you. But they're all coming to the White House. Who's they all? Like, I'm talking about half of the Western European leaders. I'm talking about the head of NATO and the EU. I'm talking about a delegation unlike we've ever seen walk into the Oval Office. And but the narrative was, well, you know why they're coming. They're all coming to get Zelensky's back so he won't be bullied by Trump. Shut up. Do you mean to tell me, let me get this straight. Do you mean to tell me that other heads of state are allowed to invite themselves into the Oval Office and barge in whenever they feel like it? Is that how that works? I was not aware of that. I thought we were a strong nation. But no, they're all coming. They told him they're coming, and they're coming to protect Zelensky's interests. No, they're not. They were invited here by the President of the United States to participate in a second round of summit negotiations. More on this. Oh, man, I'm giving you a handful. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. Hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday, because it's always about the food. So I'm in this dipper number one here, and this is... To me, this is the biggest story in the world right now. Absolutely the biggest story in the world. It is the story that could have the most dramatic impact on days ahead. This is a story that involves both foreign policy. It involves U.S. politics. It involves more than just U.S. policy. It involves military policy in many ways because the DOD and NATO are heavily involved in this. And there's a lot of things that are happening today with the second round, what I would call phase two of the art of the summit. So here's a thing that happened today. And if you've not had a chance to see it, in fact, I'm looking up on the screens. Both I got CNN and Fox both on the wall right now, and both of them are just going at it. Same storyline. Today, President Volodymyr Zelensky. Thank you for putting that up on the screen, by the way. I see that JP's got parts of it up on the screen. Zelensky came back to the White House. You know, the last time he's in the White House, a little awkward, a little difficult. Got a bit of a chastisement, and today the warm welcome from the President of the United States. Who, by the way, Zelensky is the only one the President of the United States, to my knowledge, met at the door. All the rest of the world leaders were met by Monica Crowley, who is now the Director of Protocol for the White House. So the other world leaders met and were received warmly, you know, but Zelensky was met by President Trump personally. Zelensky wore a suit. There's that. It's a bit different. It's a black suit with a black shirt. So, it, you know, it's kind of like he's the man in black. Did the whole Johnny Cash thing. But Zelensky was there and had a very cordial meeting. Also there, you had the Secretary General of NATO. You had the head of the EU. You had the Prime Minister of Italy, the Prime Minister of France. You had the Prime Minister, it's a Prime Minister, I think, the head of Germany. I've forgotten which position it is. Finland. I know if it's Sweden.
European Union.
I said the European Union already. Okay. Yeah. That's a heavy crowd. You know what that means? We had more world leaders gathered in the Oval Office at one time than perhaps ever. I don't recall this ever happening again. And they were there. It was not a social call. This was a heady, we have things to do. This is an important meeting. And it's absolutely of historic significance, in my opinion. That is not hyperbole, my friends. Tell me when you've seen something in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 world leaders all gathered in the Oval Office for one purpose ever. In my lifetime, I don't remember it. I'm sure there were times when there was more than one, but usually what you see is somebody's hosted and they have their time and they leave. Most of the time, it's one world leader that comes in and that one world leader leaves. They all flew in separately. You got a gathering of power like never before. Several things about this. Number one is, not only was it historic in its scope, but it was historic for the purposes of resolving the war in Ukraine. Because the left has been of the narrative. I told you a minute ago, the left has been of the narrative here that somehow or another, Zelensky needed protection from Trump. And so these people came to get his back. And this is all to make sure that Zelensky's not getting bullied. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. You know what it really means? If you look at it, Putin came to the meeting by himself. Putin didn't get to come to the Oval Office. Everybody else all came together in one big united front to meet at the Oval Office. Look, it's one thing for Trump to fly out to Alaska and have a meeting at an Air Force base and fly a B-2 stealth bomber over Putin's head and spend 3 hours with the man and then end the meeting. We don't know how the meeting ended or why. They were actually scheduled to have lunch. They didn't. You know what that tells me? Is that Trump was probably ready for the meeting to be over. And so they ended it. And Putin got back on his plane and flew home by himself. There is nobody coming to these meetings with Putin. Nobody. There is nobody coming to these meetings to say, we've got your back, we want to stand in solidarity, none of it. What you're watching right now is the vast majority of the world is aligned in believing that Putin is the aggressor, but at the same time wanting to make sure that we get to an end of the carnage. We have had over 1 million Russians alone, 1 million die or be killed or be casualties. Battlefield injuries and deaths, almost like 1.1 million on the Russian side. You're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 150,000 on the Ukrainian side. Of that, 14,000 are just innocent civilians who are not even combatants. But the left is absolutely determined that the only reason why these people came to the White House today is because they had to protect Trump. Marco Rubio went on CBS's Face the Nation, and just stared that thing down. Just let them have it. So I got time for that. I think I do. You got that clip? I'm going to call up clip 1. This is Marco Rubio on Face the Nation, getting harangued and then laying down the ground truth right down low where the baby goats can get to it. Play it, man.
No, there is concern from the Europeans that President Zelensky is going to be bullied into signing something away. That's why you have these European leaders coming as backup tomorrow. Can you reassure them?
No, it isn't. That's not why they're coming as backup. That's not true. No, but that's not why that's not true. They're not coming here tomorrow to keep Zelensky from being bullied. They're
well,
not coming.
February, in fact, they're coming here tomorrow in front of television cameras where President Zelensky.
Do you know how many meetings we've had
down
since then?
Oh no, I know, and I was just up in Alaska
had a bunch
watching
of
the one with
then.
Vladimir Putin where a red carpet rolled
no,
out.
No, but
for
it was
the
Zelensky.
Was
we've had
different.
More meetings. We've had one meeting with Putin and like a dozen meetings with Zelensky. So, but that's not true. They're not coming here tomorrow to keep Zelensky from being bullied. They're coming here tomorrow because we've been working with the Europeans. We talked to them last week. There were meetings in the UK over the previous weekend.
And they said President Trump was going
to
demand a ceasefire
as early as Thursday. No, but you said that they're coming here tomorrow to keep Zelensky from being bullied. They're not coming here tomorrow. Oh, this is such a stupid media narrative that they're coming here tomorrow because Trump is going to bully Zelensky into a bad deal. We've been working with these people for weeks on this stuff. They're coming here tomorrow because they chose to come here tomorrow. We invited them to come. We invited them to come. The president invited them to come.
But the president told those European leaders last week that he wanted a ceasefire. The president went on television, said he would walk out of the meeting if Vladimir Putin didn't agree with one. He said there would be severe consequences if he didn't agree to one. He said he'd walk out in 2 minutes. He spent 3 hours talking to Vladimir Putin, and he did not get one. So there's
because
some
obviously
messages.
Something things happened during that meeting. Well, because obviously things look, our goal here is not to stage some production for the world to say, oh, how dramatic he walked out. Our goal here is to have a peace agreement to end this war. OK, and obviously we felt and I agreed that there was enough progress, not a lot of progress, but enough progress made in those talks to allow us to move to the next phase. If not, we wouldn't be having Zelensky flying all the way over here. We wouldn't be having all the Europeans coming all the way over here. Now, understand and take with a grain of salt. I'm not saying we're on the verge of a peace deal, but I am saying that we saw movement, enough movement to justify a follow-up meeting with Zelensky and the Europeans, enough movement for us to dedicate even more time to this. You talk about the sanctions. Look, at the end of the day, if peace is not going to be possible here and this is just going to continue on as a war, people will continue to die by the thousands. The president has that option to then come in and impose new sanctions. But if he did this now, the moment the president puts those additional sanctions, that's the end of the talks. You've basically locked in at least another year to year and a half of war and death and destruction. We may unfortunately wind up there, but we don't want to wind up there. We want to wind up with a peace deal that ends this war so Ukraine can go on with the rest of their lives and rebuild their country and be assured that this is never going to happen again. That's the goal here. We're going to do everything possible to make that happen if it's doable. It will require both sides to make concessions. It will require both sides to get things they're asking for. That's how these deals are made, whether we like it or not.
All right. That's amazing. So what galls me is the level of vitriol. She was throwing it back in his face. She's basically, why don't you just go ahead and say, you failed? That's all. That's what she was doing. You failed. We didn't fail. What is it? What are you talking about? And I love the fact that he finally said, what a stupid media narrative.
Well, first of all, Trump never said that he would walk out if there was no ceasefire. That's just a lie. Like, he said he would walk out if he didn't like where the meeting was going. But then one person in that exchange was actually in the meetings and the other person wasn't.
Yes, so exactly,
it's like,
right.
It's like, how are you gonna tell Rubio what was in the meetings when he was in the meetings, she wasn't? Like, it's
yeah. Yeah. And they're all coming here to protect him from being bullied. We invited him here.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. That was a fascinating to me dialogue. We're gonna take a break real quick. We're gonna come back. I'm gonna tell you about some things that came out of today's meeting. And there's more. I don't even have all of it because they were still talking. They were still dialoguing and having a press conference as a group in mass when I went on the air. But right now, we know a few things that are on the table. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. And I'm going to the phones real quick. I think Wolverine Dan's on the line. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing quite well. You know, President Trump has done a phenomenal job so far. He's pretty much done everything he said he was going to do in his campaign speeches, which is all pluses, and it's good for the American the State of the Union, good for America in general. But, you know, this peace thing with Russia and Ukraine, if he brokers this, he gets this done, I'm not expecting them to, you know, give him praise and everything. But this is how sad a lot of the left-wing liberals are. They want nothing good to come out of his presidency.
Yeah.
And it, all that does is ruin our lives, God, you know, your life, my life, everybody else's life. They'd rather see us suffer and not succeed and make America great again and benefit everybody financially. And I don't understand it. It's a sickness, man. It's in the head. Don't you agree?
It really is. In fact, it's gotten so obvious that some of them actually hate Trump more than they love America. Does that make sense? They hate Trump more than they love America.
No. You know, one thing what God always said is love your fellow man. That's part of the commandments, okay? Come on. I mean, really? Is it that sick in your head that you can't follow at least God's rules, which to me, I know God's rule is correct. Not only that, it benefits their fellow man. I don't understand this. It is such a sickness. It makes me want to throw up. It's that bad.
Well, it is. And I mean, if you look back at, in I think it's March when Trump spoke to the joint session of Congress, you know, he had a number of people in the gallery. He was celebrating, like he announced one young man who was a cancer survivor. He announced another young man who was going to get an appointment to West Point. The Democrats refused to clap for any of it only because he was the one pointing it out. Everyone should rejoice when a child beats cancer.
In my closing is this, hatred like that is the devil controlling that human being, because God never, ever hated, and neither did Jesus, all right? He gave up his life for us, all right? And what gets me is that the devil's working miracles with these people. When I say miracles, bad miracles, because they buy into it, and that's all that's in their heart is the devil.
Appreciate you, Wolverine. Dan, as always, buddy, have a great day.
All right,
see ya. He's right. I mean, and like I said, there's a bunch of them out there on the left side that hate Trump more than they love America. Isn't that sad? That really is a mess. It's a messed up situation. I see a bunch of text messages coming in. I'll tell you what, man, I'll be working on some of those pretty soon. But let me tell you a couple of things that came out of today. And this topic's not over. We're not done with it. But I got to give you a few talking points that came out of it today. One is President Trump, in his opening statement. So afterwards, after they had the confab in the Oval Office, then they went out and they had the, you know, the class photo where they basically all stood in front of the flags of their countries and got a group photo of this historic gathering of world leaders in the Oval Office. And then they went into, and I don't know where they were, but they went into a large room where the press was arrayed, and they had basically a conference table, and they all sat around the conference table and each took a turn speaking to the press. Trump, of course, opened. In Trump's opening comments, and I got to hear this right before I went on the air, in Trump's opening comments, he said that he will be contacting Russian President Vladimir Putin to discuss things that came out of today, and there will be a discussion about what he called an exchange of territories. A discussion about an exchange of territories. Now, my understanding, and I've heard multiple people say this, is that Zelensky can't give away territory as the president of the United States, that something about their Ukrainian constitution requires him to take that to a referendum of the people. So he can't just cede territory. That's not allowed. And it shouldn't be, to be honest with you. But right now, one of the first pieces that came out is a part of the discussion appears to be a discussion about what Trump referred to as an exchange of territories. Now, exchange indicates that, if he used the word intentionally, exchange indicates that there's a swapping. Who wants what and when? Well, there are ports on the Black Sea that Russia took when they took the Crimean Peninsula. Does Ukraine want part of the Crimea back? I don't know. We know that Putin apparently expressed an interest in what is known as the Donbass region. The Donbass region is the eastern rim, the eastern side, if you will, of Ukraine. And the Donetsk and Luhansk oblasts, which is like saying giant counties or states, those particular regions are rich in mining and natural resources, and Putin wants them. So don't tell me this is all about NATO being on his doorstep. He just wants stuff. He wants things his country needs. and he sees rich natural resources in a region that is currently one of the most hotly contested portions of the entire war. So we know that right now there has been some measure of discussion regarding an exchange of territory. What that means, I don't know. But I will tell you that when Trump said that, Zelensky didn't blink. He didn't wave his hand and go, wait a minute, that's not what was said. There will be some discussion about an exchange of territories. The other piece of this is the United States affirmed that it will provide what it calls security measures equivalent to something like an Article 5 response for NATO. If you recall, the Article 5 of the NATO Convention is an attack on one is an attack on all. We will respond to defend our allies. He is saying that we are going to provide security measures. What does that mean? Well, right now we already know there's advanced weapons sales going to the EU now, not direct, but EU, and they're being bought by the EU to then be sold back to Ukraine. In other words, we're not losing money now. That's good. I don't mind that. That's industry. We win. We sell stuff. Our companies make money. Our nation makes money. We're not writing blank checks. I'm okay with that. Send them more Tomahawk cruise missiles. I'm sorry. Send them more Javelin missiles. Send them more M1 Abrams tanks. Send them some boxes of ammo. Do all of it. I'm good with that. But the reality is we're not having to spend a dime on that. We're getting it basically sold on the open market to the EU, who then sells it to Ukraine. But more than that, there was a discussion from General Jack Keane about whether U.S. troops would ever have a play. Why that's different, I'll tell you about that in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one. Woo, Lord. I mean, this show goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that, my friends, is just the radio footprint. Just the radio. And then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, live streaming the show, like right now, like looking inside the studio, live streaming the show on places like Facebook and X and Rumble and YouTube and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact or catch it for the second time. Listen, the bottom line is this. I say all that every time because I want to acknowledge the fact that wherever you're getting this show, we know it. And oh, by the way, we appreciate it. You guys mean the world to us. You're the reason why we do what we do. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, before I go any further, I got to tell you, our friends at 1819 News got a gig. I mean, they got a thing going on, y'all. 1819 News has got a gala coming up on November the 14th. November the 14th, all proceeds raised in this gala go to support 1819 News as they take a stand for truth. And listen, they do good stuff. I mean, 1819 News is one of my go-to sources for state of Alabama news. And 1819 News has got it going on with this one because Tucker Carlson is going to be the keynote speaker that night. I mean, they're almost sold out. So just be aware. You can go to their website, 1819news/gala, and you'll find the way to buy tickets. But let me tell you what they've got. For those of y'all that have the capability, if you would like to be a big name donor to this event, $25,000. Yes, I know that's a lot of money, but guess what it gets? $25,000 not only gets you VIP entree, it gets you a very close, almost one-on-one time with Tucker Carlson sitting at a small round table with him having a discussion. And followed by that with a photo op. And followed by that with a VIP reception. And then followed by that, oh, by the way, I'm sure, by the way, the VIP reception will have other people from around the state to include big politicos. And then you got the dinner with prime seats up towards the front for his keynote address. That's an amazing night. It also means all proceeds are going to something that we all believe in. So yeah, 1819news/gala. If you would like to be one of those large-scale donors, they will take care of you for doing it. And it would mean a lot towards putting good quality conservative branded news continually in the forefront right here in Alabama. Check them out. 1819news/gala. $25,000 a night with Tucker Carlson. You can't miss. All right, we got a bunch of texts that I'll be getting to momentarily, but let me do this. One of the things that came out of the discussions today is that Zelensky said Trump agreed that there has been what he called a very good conversation about security guarantees for Ukraine. The idea that the left constantly says, he's abandoning Ukraine, he's favoring Putin. Listen, the bottom line is this. You know what happened the last 4 years? Biden's fecklessness is what let the war start. Biden's fecklessness and inability to conduct foreign policy is what kept the war going. And the fact that all we did was write blank checks is what wore out the conservative base with the idea of doing something in this war. You know what's changing right now? Is we actually have a plan. And we're actually not bankrupting our nation on that war. What we are doing instead, though, is saying, we're there for you, because you know what? We also still agree Putin shouldn't be allowed to get away with doing what he's doing. And that being said, what does that mean? I do not want U.S. boots on the ground. I don't. There better be like some large-scale national interest, like the use of nukes or something like that, before I would ever see that happen. What I could see happen is apparently what I think they talked about today is that if we get a peace agreement, and by the way, I got to caveat a little bit. Trump said we might not need a ceasefire. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we're not going to see a stop in the shooting. What it means is we don't have to have a long, drawn-out period of ceasefire in order to reach a peace agreement. We should be able to get this thing hammered out and the fighting just stop. Okay, I don't know, but that's what he said. But then the thing about security agreements. Many people don't know that still to this day, the United States participates on an international level in what were called peacekeeping operations. Military, we call them PKOs, peacekeeping operations around the world. My own son did a tour in the Sinai Peninsula. Because the Sinai Peninsula, believe it or not, sitting between Israel and Egypt, is still a place where we keep peacekeeping forces between Israel and Egypt. It's amazing. But yeah, the Sinai Peninsula. We have technically been in that mode in Korea now for over 50 years. All this to say, it's not unusual to find U.S. troops being part of an international coalition of a PKO, sort of safeguarding a site and making sure the two sides don't go back to war. I don't know for a fact, but I do know that General Jack Keane has some amazing insights. He's a four-star. He's the head of the Institute for Modern War. And he gave some comments today, and I asked JP if he could find it. He did find it because he's JP. So we're going to play it real quick, and I'm going to hear it for the first time and then react to it. Go ahead and play it, buddy.
Hundreds of thousands of them, but you need some. Most of them, I think, should be European forces. But I also believe that you've got to have some U.S. troops on the ground. We've got 80,000 troops in Europe right now, 40,000 of them are army. We've got five brigades in Europe. Two of them are permanent, Italy, Germany. The other three rotate in and out. Where? All three Baltic states, Poland and Romania. One of those rotational brigades could go to Ukraine. We're already paying for it. The troops that know they're going to go on deployment. There's another rotation coming in 6 months or whatever. And all of that would be backed up by European and U.S. air power. That is deterrence. Putin would pay attention to that. And it has real teeth in it. I think if we just build up Ukraine, that's not going to be enough. We've been doing that. We need to have something on that side of the spectrum. But there will be lots of discussion about this, Martha, with the principals for sure. And there will be different views on what should be there and what should not be there. And that's the reality of it. Also, as a background, we would have to provide exquisite intelligence, and believe me, like we are doing right now, in terms of what are the Russians doing, what are they preparing to do, and we do that routinely. That would have to continue with the cooperation of the Europeans as well. And we would have to buy into some time. I wouldn't be surprised, Martha, if the Ukrainians didn't suggest, that all sounds good, but we want it to last past the Trump administration. Maybe we should get the Senate of the United States to approve the United States participation in this. Mm. So you ratify it and it becomes something that lives on beyond the Trump administration. Lots of issues here.
Okay, that's some keen analysis. And I didn't mean it that way, Jack Keane. Yes, it was keen analysis. But what he's saying there is, much like we're already doing, there are any number of places around the world, to include right now in Europe, where U.S. forces are already forward deployed. It's already a part of our rotation. If you look at what's called in the military the patch chart showing which unit patches are soon to rotate to where, the patch charts already have units going over. okay? Going over already is no change in current budget processes, he points out. But he thinks there's no way in the world for us to just say, did the war stop? Good. Ukraine, we're going to help you build your economy, because there's always that concern that an aggressive Russia could decide later on, we didn't get enough, we're going back. And so what he's suggesting is that there would have to be a peacekeeping operation. I don't deny that. I think that's very likely. I think it needs to be European heavy. I think it needs to probably be under the command of NATO and or under a European command. We had frustrations with that, the way it was run in Bosnia. But nonetheless, it was also extremely effective to bring an international coalition in, because what happens then is it's not just one nation like the U.S. standing on its own funding everything. It's an international coalition and it has its own funding. NATO would have to fund it. The European Union would have to be heavily involved. And then, oh, by the way, U.S. troops would be, and we said brigade, think about what we're talking about here. We're not talking about division level. We're not talking about massive troop deployments. He's saying there'll be a brigade on rotation. And a brigade, for those who don't know, is a decent-sized unit, but it is not at all like sending out massive deployments at division level. All right, so I don't know. That's what he said. But right now, what we do know came out of today. What we do know came out of today, and I'm going to take a break in a minute. I'll come back and get your text messages. If you have questions about it, ask me. I'll do what I can. But right now, what we know came out of today is one of the most historic meetings to ever take place in the Oval Office. Let that sink in. Oh, the Trump guy who can't do foreign policy? Oh, the Trump guy who didn't solve the war last Friday? Yeah, well, guess what? He had half of Western Europe's leaders in the Oval Office today to talk in a united manner about how we can see this war come to an end. Stop the killing. On top of that, there is absolutely, apparently, a discussion about the swapping of territories, in Trump's words. The exchange of territories is what he said. Don't know what that means, but we know that Putin has his eyes on the Donbass region, which is mineral rich. I don't think Ukraine should have to give that up. I don't think Ukraine should have to give up what has been a huge sector of its economy. I don't, and I hope it doesn't come down to that. That would be sad if it was. But I will tell you that Trump talked about an exchange of territories, and Zelensky did not blink, because he already knows. But Zelensky also is bound by his own constitution to take that to a referendum of the people, is what I understand. And then the last thing is security forces agreements. The idea that we might have a peacekeeping operation, a PKO, and we might wind up seeing U.S. troops as a smaller portion of an overall larger NATO-led force that would be on the ground to prevent the re-engaging of hostilities. Lot to unpack there, you guys. It's a lot to unpack. And I remind you that the Panmunjom, you know, Korean armistice took 2 years, and that the Dayton Peace Accords that ended the war in Bosnia was a 21-day massive confab that literally took sequestering everybody for 21 days at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. All that to say, there's more to come on this. I think we'll go ahead and call it done for the day. But as the story unpacks of the week, I suspect we'll talk about it again. Coming up next, I got your text messages. And oh, by the way, if you want to ask me questions about what I think about certain aspects of this, yeah, hit me. Bill Williams, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Oh, yeah, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. I got to catch up on some text messages. You guys are some texting machines. Chris from Gadsden says, you should just talk about, where do you say this? You should talk about college football when you're on CNN on Wednesday. If they complain about it, just point out your audience is the only group watching the show anyway. No. Hey, by the way, I don't know if she's listening or not, but I was in court this morning. So I got to do a shout out. I was in court this morning talking to one of the other lawyers, who's, I'll just say his first name is Marcus. I was talking to Marcus, who told me his daughter Taylor listens to the show every single day. So Taylor, if indeed you are listening, I hear you're a Right Side Ruffian and already got a shirt. So listen, we're proud of it. Thank you very much. So there's a shout out to somebody that I just ran across today. Text lines. Paul from Decatur says, Paul in Decatur again, wife just showed me a post on Facebook. Why are there no Democrats are on Mount Rushmore? I don't know. That's okay. I don't know. There's a random out of the blue. I don't know. I guess because they haven't done anything to deserve it. Jason from Huntsville says, we paid 2 cents an acre for Alaska. Not only did Putin have to visit a military base in Alaska, he had to look up at a B-2 flying overhead flanked by F-22s. Lots of twos. Some kind of symbolism here? I don't know. Does two have some kind of spiritual impact? Do we need to know what that means? what does the number two mean in the heavenlies? I don't know. John from Harvest says, enjoying the clips online during the break. Maybe it's just the liberal mindset, but most of the criticism of Trump is style over substance. I agree. He says, plus most of the criticism is essentially about gossip, i.e. stuff they can't possibly know and stuff they are projecting. That's true. That's a great way of describing it. And I at one point I think I did say to him, y'all don't know that. But I
mentioned this to you too, though, of like, it's the former State Department workers under Obama and past Democrats, and they're like, you know, I know how things are supposed to be done, and Trump's just not doing it the way things are supposed to be done, and yeah. I know more than you because I've been there and done that,
yeah.
And this is just wrong, and if you object to me, then you're just dumb because you weren't there like I was. You know, it's like the arrogance of that. It's like, you weren't in the meetings. You don't know a dang thing. And by the way, the same old is kind of what got this into the mess it is in the first place.
Hacks, quacks, and jackwagons.
Yeah.
There we are. Herb from Gurley says, all those other leaders just came for the free food, but Trump fooled them. He charged one tariff point at the door. that's funny. Chris from Rogersville says, the media is still full of stuffing, and he says, and they're all something else. Well, Chris, don't beat around the bush. Tell us how you feel. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, I found one of your CNN co-hosts here in Gulf Shores. Do what? Hang on a second. What we got? What's he got? Oh. So Jeff from Indiana, wearing his Right Side Radio shirt, kissing a baby alligator. I'm not sure what to think about this. I noticed there is electrical tape around the alligator's mouth. So, okay. So which one of my co-hosts is this, Jeff? Tell me that. That's funny. Jeff from Indiana getting a break, and well-deserved. Badger from Athens says, okay, never mind. Badger from Athens had let us know that there was a problem with the 770 AM out of Huntsville. They got it fixed. So thank you very much. Jerry from Decatur says, proud of Marco Rubio for not allowing the liberal reporter to wrest the truth concerning the nation reps being in D.C. I guess what he's trying to say is the nationwide leaders, international leaders being in D.C., it was a sign of solidarity with Ukraine. It was peace through strength to Putin, so he'll think twice for trying to take advantage of another weak U.S. president, airborne. Indeed, sir. Indeed. Airborne, Jerry. Joe in Tennessee says the economy of Russia is $2 trillion. The economy of the EU is $20 trillion. So pay up, EU. Worthy. I agree. Ruminating Rocker from Flint Creek says, please don't make me listen to CNN again. They are worse than the clips I've seen, led me to believe. No, dude, it's all good. We're getting it done. Lewis from Trinity says that the news media fails to recognize that Biden did not help Ukraine. Liberals do not understand war. Russia invaded Ukraine. Poland was willing to give Ukraine their jets. Biden said no. That's exactly right. The other way, he put restraint on the ability to get meaningful weapon systems into their hands. Then they got sabotaged and they're no longer usable. Held off on the OK too long missiles into Russia. There's a lot of Biden could have done to push Russia back. Democrats do not understand. Let's get it done. Lewis, good points. All of it. Bobby in Huntsville says the media are still talking about how we came to Alaska to get to ask no questions. They're just mad. They thought, sure, because I will say they were mad. They flew out there to Alaska. And they had a press conference, and I heard them say it was a press conference that really wasn't a press conference because we weren't allowed to ask any questions. I think it was actually Brett Baer from Fox that said that.
That was weird. It was almost like they were expecting to open up the questions and then didn't. But then also, we'll say it was kind of weird that Putin spoke first.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. But
I have heard that protocol is that the host country speaks first.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, they probably just made that decision on the fly. Not probably best not to open it up to questions, but it was funny that they were all expecting that.
Well, here's the other thing. There's always that question about what's Putin going to say. So what you don't want to do, and here's the thing. I saw this a lot of times when I was running for office at the state level, right? You go to a forum where one candidate speaks followed by another candidate. You don't want to be the first candidate to speak because you want the ability to rebut what the other one said. So truth be told, You've got Trump speaking second, which gave him the ability to make sure that Putin was going to say something that he didn't have to. He wasn't going to say something he had to refute. So there may very well have been wisdom in that.
I mean, yeah, I think it's probably smart they did that, but it was funny. They kind of led the journalists on. I also thought it was funny that Putin said, yeah, next time we'll do it in Moscow. And Trump was like, ooh. Yeah,
I did see that. He went, ooh, and I don't know about that.
I may get in trouble for that one.
All right, listen, we're taking a break. Come right back. We'll change the subject. It's time to talk about something else. How about this? How about we take back our history? Let's talk about that for a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.